This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media. We're about to speak to Joe Job, who's the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board. Welcome to Etopia Media.
Thank you very much.
Nice to be here. Tell us what happened today in Virginia with the president and biodiesel.
Well, President Bush gave an energy speech talking about his comprehensive energy plan. Congress's comprehensive energy plan that has been in debate for 4 years now, and the president was really emphasizing the need for a comprehensive energy plan and the need for the nation to move forward on energy policy, on new energy policy to help us with prices at the pump and energy generation, power generation, and so forth. And included as a very important component of the new energy plan are efforts to promote renewable fuels, particularly biodiesel, which the president chose a biodiesel plant in West Point, Virginia, to give his speech. And he gave about a 25-minute speech on the comprehensive energy plan, spoke about 5 minutes of that time about biodiesel and the benefits of biodiesel.
And what are the benefits of biodiesel?
Well, biodiesel as...
Why don't we back up one more step? Let's tell our viewers, let's go even back up two steps and talk about what a diesel engine is and what distinguishes it from a spark plug-based internal combustion engine.
Sure. Well, most Americans drive a spark ignition engine, a gasoline engine. And, when you refine a barrel of crude oil, you get the upper distillates, which gasoline is one of the upper distillates, and you get lower distillates, which include kerosene and diesel fuel and number one, number two, going down to number six heating oil, down to asphalt and so forth.
Right.
And a gasoline engine, a spark ignition engine burns gasoline, and a diesel engine, which most of us, many Americans don't really know anything about because all they know of is diesel is synonymous with a big truck going down the road.
Right.
But the reason for that is because all of those big trucks have a diesel engine. It's a compression ignition engine that burns diesel fuel. It's a heavier, oilier fuel, and the reason diesel technology is used in all of our heavy-duty applications is because it gets up to 50% more fuel economy, and it just has much more power, much more durability. All of the trucks on the road use diesel technology because it will run forever. I say forever. You can get a million miles on a large heavy-duty diesel engine without hardly doing anything to it. And if you look around you, wherever you are in an office or anywhere, whatever product your eyes land on, that was most likely brought to you in some way, shape, or form by diesel technology.
To say just a little bit about the technology itself, how do the explosions take place in diesel engines that turn the machinery as opposed to in engines with spark plugs?
Well, in a spark plug, you've got four cycles. You've got intake, compression, combustion, and exhaust.
Right.
And at the piston will compress the air, then a spark ignites that compressed air under pressure, and that causes combustion. It jolts the piston forward, turning the crankshaft, and then you have the exhaust phase, which pushes the spent fuel out of the combustion cylinder.
Right.
Now, in a diesel engine, you still have a piston and a crankshaft and all of that, but you have no spark plugs. What happens is you have very large pistons operating under very, very high pressures, and it compresses, injects diesel fuel into...
You're drifting away from the mic or something.
Okay. Is this any better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay. So under these high pressures, these large pistons of the diesel engine, the you inject diesel fuel into the combustion cylinder, and you have such incredibly high temperatures and high pressures, you don't need a spark to ignite it. It auto-ignites because of the high pressure and high temperature.
And because you've got that heavy piston, when the explosion then generates a lot of power.
It generates an enormous amount of horsepower and torque.
Okay, which is what the advantage is of diesel.
Yes.
But the disadvantage is that it can tend to be more polluting than normal gasoline engines. Is that right?
Yes. There are some criteria emissions. The primary pollutants in a diesel engine are nitrogen oxide emissions and particulate matter. Particulate matter is that visible black smoke that you see when you follow a school bus down the road, and it accelerates, and you see the black smoke coming out.
Right.
That is sulfur being burned in the diesel fuel.
Right.
Now, there is diesel engines are changing because there is a rulemaking that beginning next year, 2006, beginning phasing in 2006 and required in all on-road diesel fuel in 2007, there will be a 95% reduction in the sulfur levels of diesel fuel. And what that will do is it will allow after-treatment technology to be added to new diesel engines that will make them up to 90% cleaner. So new diesel engines beginning after 2007 running on ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel will be 90% cleaner than today's diesel engines. They will actually be cleaner than today's natural gas engines.
Okay, now before we talk about the benefits that biodiesel will bring being added to that mix, tell us where biodiesel comes from, what its definition is, and in general terms, how it's produced.
Okay, well, many people, you know, their personal vehicles are gasoline engines, and you know what gasoline is and what it smells like, and it's a petroleum-based chemical. It's light, it's explosive, and many of your listeners may even be somewhat familiar with ethanol. That is a product that is made from the carbohydrate material of crops, primarily corn. You ferment corn just the same way that you would make moonshine or vodka.
Right.
And that makes an alcohol that's very chemically similar to gasoline and can be blended with gasoline as a fuel extender, as an octane enhancer.
Right.
And similarly, biodiesel is a diesel fuel that is made from vegetable oil.
So, in fact, it is to diesel fuel what ethanol is to gasoline.
Yeah, that comparison there definitely can be made.
Okay.
Now the difference is, you know, many of your viewers may not know much about diesel fuel other than it's a heavier, oily fuel, and so biodiesel, the way biodiesel is made is you take any vegetable oil or animal fat, any fat source, any natural oil, could be most of what we have available in this country is soybean oil. That's a primary oil seed crop in the United States.
Now, does this tend in practice to be fresh, new soybean oil that people could use to cook with, or is it often used soybean oil that people have already used to cook with?
It's all of that,
right,
and more. As I said, it can be anything can be used, any fat source, from corn oil, canola oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil, mustard seed, recycled cooking oil that's collected from restaurants.
In general, say something in general about the economics of it, whether it tends to be more cost effective to have to gather and collect and have all that overhead to get used oil, or whether it makes more sense to produce oil explicitly to be used to create biodiesel.
Well, if we're ever going to make a significant impact in the energy market, it's going to take all of our available raw materials and then some. We're going to, we can have a very significant impact in both energy market and even a broader, bigger impact on agriculture. And so, yes, recycled cooking oil is a viable material for biodiesel. It is currently cheaper than than virgin vegetable oil. However, just in terms of the available volumes,
right?
It's going to take, you know, it's, of all of the available volumes of triglyceride sources that we have in the United States that are potential feedstocks for biodiesel, soybean oil, virgin soybean oil, makes up about half of that.
Right.
And everything else makes up about the other half. So it's going to ultimately take take all of the available material in order for us to make a significant impact in energy.
Essentially, the way this works in the broader scheme is that petroleum has the stored energy in it. The sun radiated onto the earth millions of years ago and created vegetable matter, which was eventually transformed into petroleum. Soybean sort of speeds that process up by about a million times. The sunlight comes in; it's converted to carbohydrate through the photosynthesis in the soybean plants, and then into oil, and then by the process you're going to tell us about, converted into biodiesel. So it's essentially solar energy being converted into liquid energy that can run vehicles.
That's exactly right. And so you take the vegetable in order to make biodiesel. What you do is you take the vegetable oil or animal fat,
right,
natural oil, the triglyceride source. We'll call it soybean oil because that's what we have the most of here in this country.
Right.
In Europe, their primary oilseed crop is rapeseed oil.
Right. So
that's what most of their commercial biodiesel is made from, but they are using, U.S. soybeans, and they're using palm oil, and they're using a variety of things.
So as a global market, this is good for U.S. farmers, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you take the raw vegetable oil and you react it with an alcohol, either ethanol or methanol, and in the presence of a catalyst, and that reaction causes the glycerin in the triglyceride to separate. That is extracted off, sold as a value-added byproduct for cosmetics and pharmaceuticals. The remaining chemical compound is called a monoalkyl ester. That's a chemical name for biodiesel. It acts very chemically similar to diesel fuel and a diesel engine. It can be used in pure form in certain applications, but is most commonly used in blends with diesel fuel. It can be used in any blend level in unmodified diesel engines.
Okay, that's very important. The diesel engines don't need to be modified. The blend can be anywhere from 100% to 1%.
Exactly.
And the terminology for that, it's called a B20 or a B80, depending on what percentage of the blend is the biodiesel.
Right. Now, the nomenclature creates a lot of confusion.
Okay, let's clear it up before it sets in.
Sure. Biodiesel is the pure fuel. It's the pure biodiesel, and that's referred to as B100. It's 100% biodiesel.
Right.
And a biodiesel blend is depicted by, you know, either saying biodiesel blend or saying whatever the B and then whatever the blend
right.
level.
So, so biodiesel, pure biodiesel is B100, and B20 is a biodiesel blend that's 20% biodiesel and 80% diesel fuel.
That's correct.
Okay, who does this? Is it small companies or are the big oil companies involved in buying millions of gallons of biodiesel and mixing it with their fuel? What's the general picture for the economics of all this?
Well, when I started at CEO back in 1999 in the biodiesel industry, there were about four biodiesel producers in the country, and they were small farmer co-ops. Entrepreneurial type investors in the industry, and at that time, biodiesel was very much a specialty product that, and we sold nationwide sales of biodiesel in that year, 1999, was 500,000 gallons of fuel. Much of it was being bought by us, by the National Biodiesel Board, to do research and testing and demonstration. Now there are over 35 manufacturers of biodiesel in the country. Last year we had about 30 million gallons worth of sales.
So that means a 60 times increase in five years.
Yeah, something very significant. We've been dramatically increasing our industry, growing our industry. According to the U.S. Department of Energy biodiesel is the fastest growing alternative fuel in the country.
Okay, and are the growers and the manufacturers located primarily in the Midwest or in other places?
They're all over. We have members in, from Boston to Florida to Texas to the Midwest, in Iowa and Nebraska and California and Washington. There is a soybean belt,
right,
that grows right through the middle of the country,
right,
and that does kind of sprout out to the Mid-Atlantic and other regions. The majority of the soybeans are grown in the Midwest, but biodiesel manufacturing is scattered all over the country.
So is the biodiesel added to the diesel fuel locally or nationally? Is it the big oil companies that do this, or is it distributors, or where in the food chain of energy production and distribution is the biodiesel blended with the diesel fuel, and by whom?
Yes, most of the biodiesel currently is being blended by downstream distributors. You're probably not familiar with the firm term downstream, but regional distributors,
right,
who pick up fuel from pipeline terminals and distribute them to customers.
So essentially they buy diesel fuel, and now they're buying biodiesel, and they blend it themselves.
Yes, that is where most of the biodiesel is blended into the fuel stream currently.
Right. Do you expect that'll stay that way, or there's going to be a change?
Well, in order for biodiesel to become more efficient, I talked about back in 1999 when, there was 500,000 gallons of sales and there were three manufacturers. It was very much a specialty product.
Right.
I was routinely paying as much as $6 a gallon for biodiesel, buying it in 55 gallon drums, and the shipping would cost me as much as the fuel.
Right.
And you compare that with the price of bulk wholesale diesel fuel at that time. Bulk wholesale diesel fuel means free taxes. You got to figure about 50 cents worth of federal and state excise taxes, but bulk wholesale pre-tax diesel fuel at that time was selling on the order of 40 to 50 cents a gallon.
Right.
And by comparison, at that time we were paying like $6 a gallon to ship biodiesel B100 around the country in 55 gallon drums.
Okay, and what's the price structure now?
Well, now diesel fuel has more than tripled. Bulk wholesale diesel fuel has more than tripled, and biodiesel has dropped dramatically. Now, biodiesel is not yet, it's still more expensive. It's an alternative fuel that the industry is growing and we are integrating into the liquid petroleum infrastructure.
Right.
But the more we can do that and the farther upstream we can go, for example, if we can ship rail cars and barges of biodiesel,
right,
to 51 refineries across the country to be blended in 5% biodiesel across the board, for example. I'm talking years and years down the road, but maybe not years and years, but maybe the medium term, if we can ship rail cars and barges to 50 or so refiners to move through the pipeline and the network of liquid infrastructure versus something on the order of 5,000 terminals across the country.
Right.
The logistics just make so much sense, and we can fairly easily displace up to 5% of our diesel fuel needs, and this is a medium term projection. But 5% may not sound like a whole lot.
Right.
That's actually huge when you're talking about billions of barrels of oil.
And in fact, it's at the margin, because global oil production is kind of just not able to keep up with demand. And if you can tip it at that 5% point, there's a very powerful effect for a small input, isn't there?
That is true. And as we increase and as we increase production, and as we have agricultural response to be able to produce more raw material, to be able to do to develop new feedstocks, you know, algae harvesting and other forms of raw material technology. It is aggressive, but not unreasonable to expect that within the next 20 years, we could, with biodiesel and ethanol, we could displace 20 to 25% of our petroleum needs.
Okay, why don't we let's wrap up with the two very interrelated issues. Price and consumer demand. So you said it was $6 versus 40 cents. Now it's diesel's $1.20 in bulk. And what's the price of biodiesel down to?
Diesel fuel, you can look on Opus or other things, but it's a little more than $1.20. I mean,
right.
You might be looking at $1.80. There's
right.
You know, with biodiesel. And the new tax credit that the president signed into law last October went into effect in January, but really took hold in March of this year.
Right.
Biodiesel is much more competitive with diesel fuel. I can't give you an exact number because biodiesel it varies so much
right.
by volume and region and feedstock and that kind of thing.
Right.
But it is substantially less when you figure in the tax credit. You know, you might for a gallon of B20
right.
might only be paying 5 to 10 cents more per gallon for B20 than 20% biodiesel than
okay.
compared to regular diesel fuel.
Okay, now how can millions of people listening to this do anything about getting this, making known their demand, their desire to use biodiesel blends at the pump? What's the next step for them to take? Should they go actually go not use their credit card or their swipe card and go into the booth there and say we want our biodiesel, or what? How's that going to work?
Well, one of the things that the president talked about today was that America is substantially behind the rest of the world in our attitude toward energy conservation.
Right.
I mentioned that, you know, with biodiesel and ethanol, we could displace up to 25% of our current usage of petroleum in the next 20 years. You know, if you take that 25%, we could easily achieve another 25% through energy conservation. So with those first two methods alone, we could cut our energy usage, our transportation energy usage in half.
Okay, let me ask one technical related question to that. Can biodiesel or can diesel as such or biodiesel blends be used in hybrid vehicles that would create the same mileage advantage through efficient use of braking energy that the Toyota Prius and other hybrids, gasoline hybrids, do?
Absolutely, and that's where I was going next in answering your previous question. Is one of the ways that the president said that we as Americans need to conserve is that we need to do whatever we can to improve our fuel efficiency, to utilize technology to improve our fuel efficiency. And the very first option is diesel. You know, many of the Americans remember the old diesel introduction in passenger vehicles from the 70s, and it was a failed introduction. They were slow and doggy and smelly and smoky.
Right.
And new diesels are not that way at all. In fact, you know, the Volkswagen Jetta, for example, the gasoline version gets about 28 miles to the gallon. The diesel version, exact same car with a diesel engine, gets about 48 miles to the gallon and lasts three times as long because it's so much more durable. And so this is something that we need to embrace as Americans. The new Jeep Liberty, you've seen the little Jeep Liberties out there. They were gasoline until this year, 2005. Chrysler introduced the diesel version. It's 30% more fuel efficiency, has more horsepower, and every diesel Jeep Liberty rolling off the line in Toledo, Ohio, has its first tank of fuel. It has 5% biodiesel in the tank.
Okay. Are any American or Japanese or European companies working on biodiesel hybrid vehicles?
Well, yes, they are working on diesel hybrid vehicles. Remember that biodiesel can work in any diesel engine, and a diesel hybrid will be the same principle as a gasoline hybrid,
right.
Which is it basically has two engines. It has a gasoline engine, and it has, through its regenerative braking system, it stores energy in batteries, and then as it builds up battery power, then it takes over, you know, on slow speeds in town and those kind of things, it goes under battery power and runs on the electric motors. And diesel hybrid would be the same way, except it would be even more fuel efficient. You know, today's gasoline hybrids, like the Prius,
right,
and others, they're actually less fuel efficient than a diesel engine.
Right.
You know, a Prius might get, 40 miles a gallon. A similar size Volkswagen get 45 to 50 miles per gallon and be more durable and have more horsepower and could, you know, as much torque as you could want. And the new diesels, the new common rail advanced diesel technology is just absolutely magnificent. So what can Americans do? First of all, they can start thinking about conservation. They can start putting a moral obligation on energy conservation, the way we have a moral connection to wasting food. We need to start teaching our children and start thinking ourselves about the moral obligation that we have about wasting energy. It should not be a symbol of status and prestige to waste energy.
Should be the other way around.
It should be the other way around, exactly.
Okay.
So that is a big part of the president's message. That was his first point in terms of the road to energy independence. That was his first point, is we need to think about energy conservation. We can do much more for energy conservation. American population makes up less than 5% of global population, but we use more than 25% of the world's oil. So we need to wean ourselves away from our energy gluttony.
Okay, so overall then, do you see this as a milestone in a new hopeful direction? And what are you expecting will be the results and the consequences of what happened today over the next two or three years?
Oh, it's absolutely a milestone. When the President of the United States stands up that strong and says that we need a comprehensive energy policy that includes conservation, it includes increased domestic production, it includes sharing technology to help the world improve their worldwide consumption of fuel efficiency, and it includes very strong and very powerfully new energy alternatives, primarily renewables like ethanol and biodiesel, that has a dramatic impact. The president could not have been more sincere. He could not have been more powerful. He could not have been more clear in that message, and it was very inspiring.
All right. I want to thank you. Your message was pretty inspiring, too, and I want to thank you for talking to us today and wish you continued success, and maybe we'll drive out there sometime in one of these hybrid biodiesel-powered vehicles and talk again.
I can't wait.
Thanks very much. Don't hang up, though, and
okay.
let me thank you for talking to us again.
Okay.